Welcome to All the Bits, a fake radio show about board games, the community, and all the lovely, lovely bits. All the Bits is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network and is sponsored by Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Sean and Michelle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 42.
In this episode's bits, we'll talk about Quad Hero. Okay, I've been practicing this for the last few minutes. D Tavernin im Tiefenthal. Michelle?
Sure.
Cross Carrot, another German game.
Yeah.
Second Chance and Escape Plan. We will look at the BGG thread, one game rule that killed the game for you, and get up to our usual antics of asking pointless questions, guessing games, and drooling over bits.
Nah.
So, in our banter, why don't we just banter about how awful my pronunciation of German games are?
Well, I can't really say anything because I don't know what's correct. So,
well, let's hear it. You sounded pretty good when you said it before we started recording. How did you say it?
I think it's Die Tavernen im Tiefenthal.
I mean,
that doesn't sound very German. That almost sounds like Dutch.
So, but you guys start yelling. As you say it, if you want to sound German.
Die Tavernen im Tiefenthal. I feel like I need like a chr or something, like a typhon. Yeah, I don't know.
Like that?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, so German aside, Michelle, we are recording this on, I guess we'll break the fourth wall on Sunday night here, a day before it goes up, posted, and I am very distracted, Michelle.
Why?
Because
Game of Thrones finale?
I'll be screaming. No. Basketball. So the Raptors and Milwaukee, and it's just not dealing well. It's not going well, Michelle. I'm here.
Sports, am I right?
Sports. I'm here decked out in all of my Raptors gear, hoping that that's the reason they've been losing, is because they haven't been.
It's the
Eastern Conference
or?
Final. And, yeah, it's the playoffs. And they've just been getting slaughtered. So, and
You're a fan of the Raptors?
Yes, I am. And I've been singing Drake all day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, it's because, you know, Drake and the Toronto Raptors basketball organization.
So, do you know what Chloe sings now?
What?
Guess who's back? Back again. I'm like, oh, no. Chloe's back.
Michelle, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you opened with some sports ball stuff.
Yeah. Because
I do love how they throw the ball around and then they dribble it and then they shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Or as my daughter said, hooped
it.
Hooped it.
Hooped it.
There it is.
Hoop. No. No. No.
Hey, Sean.
No. Yo, what up?
I got the question for you.
Ooh, you got the question.
That was our sound effect for Ask Me Anything, which is what thing we stole from Reddit, in which we ask each other anything. That's my radio voice. What do you think?
In these radio voices. Sweet. I can't do a radio voice.
All right, Sean. So the question I have for you. Okay, I want you to rename the game.
Okay.
Just rename it.
It's just so hard.
Do whatever you want with it. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Dominion.
Dominion. I don't know. I hate these card buying and playing.
All right. Hopefully, this next one will be a little bit more interesting for our listeners.
Oh my gosh!
Seven
I'm gonna
wonders.
Do better.
Okay.
What?
Okay. Seven wonders.
Building throughout history.
Cat Lady.
Oh, I'm just looking at Cat Lady right now. Marie Antoinette and Friends.
All right, there you go.
That's painful. I need a better one for Dominion. That was horrible.
I know, I feel... Yeah, that was a little bit weird.
I was like, that was awful. What's a better one for Dominion? How about... it's just so boring and bland.
Buy all the provinces there.
There you go. Province building.
There you go.
Province dominance. Boom.
Trash those. What's the ones called?
Coppers?
Trash those coppers.
Copper trash.
Copper trash. There you go.
All right. You ready for your question?
Oh, you know.
I may have asked this before. I'm not sure, actually, but whatever. I think I've asked a different version of it. There are a lot of implementations going around in board gaming now, Michelle.
Yeah, okay.
As all the Bitsters know, you are a huge fan of theme. If you could re-implement any game, and it could be any game, if you can re-implement any game with a new theme, what would it be?
Well, that's a really good question, Sean. I'm thinking probably an Uwe farming game, because, I don't know, farming doesn't really do much for me. So let's take Fields of Arl, and let's theme it to... I kind of want to do something like music, as like symphony orchestra or something. I feel like that's just not a theme that's used enough. Mm. I don't know if it would work, or... I was going to say Dinosaur Park, but that's super cliche. Yeah, we'll go with, like, symphony.
That's decent.
I don't know. Can you think of a theme that would work for that game?
I've never played it, so I'll take your word for it.
I'm trying to think of themes I'd even like to see. There's probably lots, but I don't know what they are.
Well, they're usually sports-related, right? just life. Yeah. Filling up on gas.
There you go. The mundane, ironing, cooking, cleaning...
Basically, you want to create Sim Life the board game. The Sims the board game.
There you go. Hey, that wouldn't be such a bad thing.
Potentially wouldn't be terrible, actually.
Yeah. I would like that. I would play that. There you go. Let's do that. Sims.
Sim the Sims. All right.
Sim the Sima.
Do, 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 do,
do, do, do, do, do.
You left me hanging there for a while. I was worried.
I know. I was appreciating your singing is what was happening there.
That lovely singing was our what do we call this? Entrance? Not entrance music. That's for listening.
Sound effects.
Our sound effects. Oh my gosh. I'm way distracted by this basketball game. Our sound effects for for our guess the game bit, where we give each other's hints from BGG and try and get the other person to guess the game. And you, good Bitsers, get to play along at home and see how much better you are at this than us.
Much quicker, I imagine. I always, whenever we introduce this bit, I always picture somebody driving and listening to the podcast and being like, it's so obvious! You know, I'm getting like...
Me too. Right?
Or is that just something I would do?
No, totally, 100%. All right, I'm going to go first.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
This game came out in 2018.
Sorry, you cut out there. 2018 or 8? Can you hear me?
Yes, 2018.
18, okay.
18. 2018. It's a recent... It currently has 857 comments on BGG.
Okay.
And plays 1 to 4 players in 60 to 90 minutes. And has a
weight. How many ratings?
4,500.
Okay, thanks.
And has a weight of 2.05.
Okay, 2.05 to 2018, 60 to 90 minutes. And what was the player count you said?
1 to 4.
1 to 4. Okay.
All right. Now, I picked this specifically, again, as we mentioned before, Michelle, that theme is very important to you. So the type of game is thematic.
Oh, dear.
It's listed. The categories are, you ready? You ready? Adventure. Deduction. And murder mystery.
What? Detective?
No.
It's not, oh, crap, what's that? Cryptid, right? Because that's...
What did you say?
Not a 60 to 90 minute game. Cryptid.
No.
No. Deduction. Is it like... I usually like deduction games, so do you know if I own this?
Oh, yeah. I believe so.
2008. I mean,
you've definitely played it.
Oh, is it Chronicles of Crime?
Yes, it is.
What was it?
2.0. Wait?
Yeah.
2.05.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really love that game, actually.
Yeah.
I have the Noir expansion that I'm excited to get to the table.
I think I have one more mission to go on.
Yeah, me too.
Thing. It's a travel game. We're keeping this as a travel game.
Oh yeah?
That's what we're doing with this. Because it's you don't really need the board. You just take with the things.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right.
I actually want to do a top five travel games.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. The mind. Nailed it.
No.
Sean for the win.
No. You failed.
SFTW.
No.
Yeah.
That's not allowed.
Yes, it is.
All right. Oh, wait. Let me do my radio voice. All right. What we've got here. Okay. I almost just read you the title. How's that for a start?
That'd been hilarious. And I probably still wouldn't have gotten it correct.
I'm actually shocked I haven't done that yet. Seems like something I would do. Okay, so this was published in 2014.
Okay.
It has 19,000 ratings.
That's a lot of ratings.
And has a current rating of 7.1.
Okay.
It plays 2 to 8 players in 20 to 30 minutes and has a weight of 1.48.
Camelot? No.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, it's Camelot.
Is it really?
It's Camelot.
Oh, that long ago.
Yeah, I know. Hey, the 2 to 8 players. I was like, oh, darn, that's really obvious. Well,
that's a hard one.
I probably wouldn't have gotten it.
There's like not. It's like that or Deception or.
Oh yeah, I still haven't played that game, Deception.
I love Deception.
And yeah, I think. I don't know. Maybe I.
You need a lot of people.
I probably wouldn't like it.
Well, the nice thing about Deception, Michelle, is it can be super quick. So
there you go.
Like, you know, you bust out games in like 10, 15 minutes and that's it. That's all it takes.
I used to really like those types of games. Like, I really liked Resistance and then a few others that were like that. I really liked them when I first got into the hobby, but yeah. I never ever wanted to be like the traitor or the person who had to lie. And also people would just call me out if I tried to lie. So
yeah.
I just kind of eventually realized, you know, I don't think I actually enjoy this.
Deception, you don't necessarily have to do that.
So, well, don't you end up convincing people? Like, if you're the person, you have to try to...
Yes, there is some of that. There is. But I feel like you could still, going to my wife who likes those type of games, but doesn't like the lying aspect / like what you mentioned, she can play that reasonably well and have fun with it. She's kind of my barometer for that sort of thing.
Mm. So. I would definitely try it if I had the opportunity, I would. But
yeah, that's a tricky. Mostly it's just a tricky game, I find, because you need to have. I feel like you have to have. Like, I've played it all the available player counts, and definitely works best towards the higher end.
Makes sense. Yeah. Did you ever play the expansion?
I played the expansion once. Yeah, the expansion basically makes it into a little bit more like Werewolf. It adds like a few characters,
okay,
and along with some new cards and stuff, but it adds a little bit more of a werewolf thing to it, which, I mean, you know, for someone who's played it as much as I've played it, it kind of adds something different.
Right. So, yeah. I did not like Werewolf.
Yeah.
Oh boy, did I ever try to like that game, but...
Werewolf's tricky, because Werewolf is entirely dependent on the narrator, too, and how good the narrator is.
Yeah, we use the app.
I find. Oh, like, are you talking about One Night Werewolf or, like, regular werewolf?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, One Night Werewolf. I've never played.
I'm not a huge fan. I much prefer Werewords. Anyway.
Yeah, I haven't played that.
But, yeah.
I haven't sought that.
All right.
Surprise.
Shocking.
Our favorite part of the podcast is about to happen.
You ready? While I grumble at this. Okay. Pew, 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 pew.
Are you watching the game?
No, I'm following the score in a widget. That's what I do.
That makes sense.
So this is going to happen for the next 20 minutes of this episode, so I apologize to everyone.
Oh, I don't care. I think it's funny. I just didn't realize the game was happening because, you know, me and sports.
Sports.
Pew, pew.
I know.
Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, 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 pew. Pew, pew,
pew. Pew, 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 pew. We should, you know, we should practice harmonizing together.
No, but that'll take away from all the, you know, the fun of it.
That'll make it sound good. We don't want that.
Yep. All right, so this is our pew-pew, where we talk about some of the games we've been playing or enjoying or experimenting with. who gets to start, Michelle?
I'll start, so you can watch some of your game.
Right. It's tied right now.
All right, let me just get my German ready. Do you think I could do German and a radio voice?
Go for it, man.
All right.
You have to do a German radio voice is what you have to do.
That's what I'm trying to do. What did I say?
Oh, gotcha. German and a radio voice.
Oh. Okay, wait, let me get my radio voice ready. And now let's add the German. No, I can't do it.
I don't know what's happening.
Die Tavernen im Teufental. I don't know what's happening either. I never know what's happening. That's the beauty of this podcast.
True.
Yeah. All right. Die Tavernen im Teufental. This is translates to the Tavern of the Deep Valley.
We could have just called it that.
No, that's
no, you don't think so?
That's not fun. It's not available in English yet, so that would just be a lie. And Sean, I don't lie.
Okay.
All right, this was published in
2018. Tell us about this.
Can I talk about the game yet, Sean?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to try. Okay, this was published in 2019. Designed by Wolfgang Warsch, who is on a very hot streak. This the artist is Dennis Lohausen. And the publisher is Schmidt Spiel, and I don't know who's bringing it to North America, but I have heard that it is coming.
North Star
Games. All right, perfect. Yes. This game has a current rating of 7.5 with 259 ratings and has a weight of 2.71. Plays 2 to 4, and according to the community, it is best at 2 in 60 minutes, I should add. That was a lot of, like, random statistics.
Yeah.
All right. So this game is what do they categorize it? Deck and pool building and dice rolling. Yeah, so
you just hit like all my lovey spots.
I know. I kind of bought the game blind because I'm like, well, it's Wolfgang. I really loved the look of it, the art and the way they set up the board. To kind of like, it looks like a pub, a tavern, and then there's dice drafting and you put the dice on coasters. So, I mean, really, you can't go wrong. So essentially this game is, you're drafting dice and then there's different action spots on your board that give you money or beer. And then you use this money and beer to upgrade your board. So the board has all these like interchangeable parts that you can pick and flip.
Cool.
And the actions become more powerful, yeah. And then the beer is used to get more cards. And it's like a deck builder in a sense, because you're building up a deck of cards. And then at the beginning of every round, you're flipping your cards and you're putting them in different areas of your tavern until your tables are full. So you have X number of tables. You start with three tables, for example. But you can upgrade your tavern to have more tables, and you can also buy table cards. So in theory, if you have more tables, you can get more cards out from your deck into the round. And cards give you things like change the pips, get more dice, get more beer, and then, of course, more money as well. So, yeah. And the game lasts, like, 8 rounds, and that's basically what you're doing. Like, you're putting out your cards until your tables are full. And by tables are full, I mean there's a card on every table. And the cards are guest cards. And then you're drafting the dice. And then you're doing all of your actions to buy and upgrade and whatnot. And then it's just whoever has the most points at the end of the game wins. And points really are, you go through your deck like you would a deck builder. And count up your points that way. And I like the game. I really do. Nice. There's the game comes like a basic game, like the rules cover a basic game, and then there's I think like 4 to 5 modules that are add-ons, and I think actually the game itself was designed with the modules included, but they wanted to strip it down to be more accessible. So for example, in the rule book it says like if you're an experienced gamer, just add I think modules like 1 and 2 or 1, 2, and 3, like just from the get-go. So I haven't played with all the modules yet. I feel like the game will probably just get better. Like every time I've added in a module, it gets better. So nice. Yeah, just something to keep in mind. But yeah, I like the game actually quite a bit. And while it's a lot different than Quacks of Quedlinburg, which is his latest, or maybe not his latest, but one of his latest, it kind of feels like an evolution of that. Like the push your luck, it's not like a complete push your luck, but it kind of is in the sense, like you're building up your deck and you're kind of like, just like you're building up your bag, and where, you know, you don't choose when to stop, but at the same time, you're going until you can go no further, basically. Mm-hmm. Right. So that it's different, but it kind of feels the same in that regards. And then at the end of the day, all you're trying to do is build up as much stuff so you can buy stuff, which again is very similar to Quacks, right? Like you end up buying in Quacks, you end up buying better chips. In this game, you end up either upgrading your tavern and or buying other cards for your deck. So it kind of feels, to me, it kind of feels the same. It just, this just feels like a bigger, better game. Like there's just more game here.
Cool.
So yeah, it's nice. Cool. I like it. I like how you can upgrade different parts and flip over the tavern and change things up, and like little modifiers will come in and you sit them at your bar, which is kind of cute. And yeah, I just think it's a good game.
Wicked.
Yeah.
I am. Yep, you totally sold me on it. I had no idea about this game. And
yeah. It kind of came out of nowhere, and I'd heard about it, and then Bliss brought it in, and I was like, you know what? There's dice. It's a euro. I'm gonna go for it, and I'm really happy I did, and I'm excited to put in, like, add in more modules, because I think it'll be a pretty complete game when they're
and what game is that, Michelle?
That is a D Tavern in Im Tiefental, aka the Tavern of the Deep Valley.
You're getting better.
Yeah, and I think it's coming this year. From North Star. I'm pretty sure they're aiming.
Q3, I think, is what they said.
Maybe?
I'm wondering if they'll have any not yet for sale, but for sale copies there.
Yeah, maybe.
Kind of hoping.
Yeah, it's good.
Nice. So excited for that one. So excited. All right. My first pew-pew-pew is, we mentioned this last episode, and been so excited about it, is Quad Heroes from Wondermint Games, designed by Ryan, I think it's Iller or Lear, I'm not quite sure. Art by Ryan Lear and Camilla Stutenberg. And this game plays 1 to 6 players and plays in 30 to 90 minutes. And we've talked on the show multiple times about how excited I am. I mentioned it last time. I have played this game, Michelle, since getting it, which was, like 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. 9 times now.
Nice.
I am I rarely get like this but actually, it's funny, because two of the games I'm talking about here, my pew-pews, are games that have been like this. I'm just like, I just want to keep playing them because of the fun that I'm having with them. So Quad Heroes is a miniatures game. There are little miniatures that are in the shape of quads, of little cubes. They all have such lovely detail to them, and I've just been like, I want to paint them one day, but right now I'm just enjoying all the people who are painting them. If you subscribe to the Quad Hero forums, you see all the amazing paint jobs that are happening. This is, I think it's best to describe it as an adventure / action game / puzzle game, because there's a lot of puzzling going on, that uses action points to get your stuff done. That's the easiest way. It's hard to come up with a mechanism, because depending what scenario you're using, they all have different mechanisms in play, which is really nice. Okay. There's a scenario book. So it's got a bit of a modular board. I say a bit of a modular board because they're all squares. They're roughly the same size, but you put them all in different layouts. So think of something like Imperial Assault or Descent, something like that. So you put them out in different ways, depending what scenario you're doing. What you are doing in this game is basically you have your little dude, and you have to always start him off by tumbling him. So you tumble him, and whatever side he lands on, that will correspond to a given action. And the basic actions, the five basic actions, I think, are you have jumping, you have dashing, which lets you move in any different direction, you have diagonal movement, you have left or right movement, you have activating your Q, which is a special ability, and I think there's one more that's kind of skipping my mind right now because I'm preoccupied, as we mentioned. But that's basically how movement works. And it's... You can easily, though, string combinations of movement together because the board has elements that cause you to turn or flip or move in a different way. There are tons of little tokens in this game that can help you do that. There's also a nice, very basic card system in it that lets you... There are two types of cards. There are permanent cards, which are items and pets, which give you abilities, and there are food and runes, which are more one-time use type things. So all these sorts of cards you can play that they will help you to kind of string these things together. And you can dash from, like, I've had people, seen people dash from one side of the board to the other side of the board in like one movement based on everything they were doing. And what's fascinating about this game, what I love about it so much, is the sheer variety. So I have played this game solo so far. I've played it competitively, and I've played it co-op. And nice. It's worked equally well, all three of them. I've played one which was like a pick-up-and-deliver type scenario, where you had to find something and then deliver it. I played one where you had to collect crystals. There's the race ones. The race ones are really fun, because you're just... especially when you're playing different people, because you're just running into each other and trying to prevent the other person from getting to the goal before you. And there's just so much different stuff you can do with it. The one issue I'm having with this, and it seems like a lot of people are, because there are so many different types of tokens and things, there are a lot of rules with different tokens. I know they're releasing an FAQ. You can definitely flip through the rule book and look how to keep it basic. The scenario book, you could keep it very basic if you want, and not do that. But if you want some of the more involved scenarios, you're dealing with all sorts of different types of tokens and things on the board. So it can get a little fiddly too. But all that aside, it really does bring to life that feeling of playing a classic video game. We mentioned last episode, like collecting those crystals, like Zelda, or having a race. You know, I always think of like Excitebike, which was my favorite NES race game back in the day. Or just trying to help someone get from one position on the board to the end. So it really feels like a video game. The art is fantastic, as we've talked about. There's just so much I love about this game right now. I'm totally obsessed with it. I spent hours one night just trying to organize it.
Oh, I bet.
I was having a blast doing it. And I was so excited when I had two Plano boxes that hadn't been used for anything. I was able to fit all the dudes with their tokens, with everything in these two Plano boxes. I like yelped for joy when I did that.
Yelped. What did that sound like, Sean? Oh. That is a joyous yelp.
That was a joyous yelp. Yeah, I was super excited. Yeah, so I am absolutely loving this game. I think, between this game and the next one I'm going to talk about are probably very close to like my one and two games this year.
Cool. Wow.
And yeah, I'm super excited.
Yeah, I ended up, based on our conversation last episode, I did pre-order it.
Nice.
But I'm hoping to try it first.
Before one of these days.
Yeah. Because I just have a feeling I might... I don't know. I feel like it could go either way. Basically.
I think it'll be... Yeah. And I think for people kind of looking forward to getting it down the line might not be the end of the world, especially when this FAQ and kind of the kinks are worked out a little bit. Because I think a lot of people seem to be kind of having... There's so many rule questions out there and stuff. And it does get... Yeah, there's a lot to interpretation because there's only so much the book can do. Like, the book, in terms of teaching you the mechanisms of the game and how it plays, is super straightforward. But then it's like, it gives you a list of what all the tokens and everything does. But it's like, then you have to deal with, well, how does this play off this? And what if this and then that happens? Because you have so many different rules. So I think especially for people who didn't necessarily kickstart but are hoping to get it after, I think kind of once the kinks are worked out, that will help as well.
Mm.
So...
Yeah, I don't know. I typically don't like those experiences. Yeah. But.
I think you will like this game a lot. I don't know if it's... Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I again, because you're a video gamer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this definitely will appeal to video gamers more than just, like, your kind of rote board gamer. Like, I think if you have any kind of nostalgia for, like, NES and SNES games, those type of games.
I do.
I think that's the type of person that I think probably why it helps me get by this. I feel like if I played a game with a different theme that didn't invoke these feelings of nostalgia in me, I probably would get super annoyed at the filliness and the ambiguity in what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm able to deal with it and happily deal with it and go about sorting it over and over.
And Plano box it.
And Plano box it, right? Yeah.
That's got to be like in our, what's the word for like our own little language for hobbyists? What's that word?
I don't know, but Milwaukee just tied it up going into overtime, Michelle.
Oh, no, I know. I was watching it too, and
awful.
I was like,
That's Quad Heroes. This episode's going to take forever. Quad Heroes from Wonderbit Games.
All right, my next pick is a quick one. My next pew pew. So this is Second Chance, published in 2019 by Uwe Rosenberg. Wonderful Uwe. Art is Max Prentice. Publisher is Stronghold here in North America. The current rating is 6.7 with 139 ratings. It plays 1 to 6 in 10 to 15 minutes and has a weight of 1.33. So this is part of the very popular, well, Flip and Write, but, you know, that's Roll and Write / Flip and Write is really in right now, as is, like, Tetris-style games. That's exactly what this is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to fill out, you have a grid. Telling you.
A grid. Shocking.
It's the secret behind game design.
Shocking.
You have a grid, and you are trying to fill in that as much of that grid as possible. And you flip over, I think, as many players plus one. I can't remember. But anyways, you flip over cards. Each card has a shape on it. And then you draw that shape, and you move on. The shapes are all... Like, you have your typical Tetris-style shapes, but they're also a bunch of kind of crazier ones, big and small. And the game is called Second Chance because if you get to a point in the game where you cannot draw one of the shapes out on the table, you may flip a card, and that's your second chance. And if you can fill that card in or draw that shape, then you can continue playing. If you cannot, you're out. And then once everybody's eliminated, you look at... who filled up the grid the most. Very, very simple, very straightforward. Yeah, that's pretty much what I have to say about this game. I mean, you know, I love this style of game. So for me, I just like, I try them all pretty much. And, you know, for the most part, most of them are just like mediocre and fine. And very few to me stand out, you know. This one is certainly in that mediocre fine lane. If you enjoy these types of games and you like, you know, polyominoes and the Tetris thing and putting stuff on a grid, I like it because I get a color, you know, giddy up. It'll be fine. It's not going to blow you away, but it's a fine experience. I would not say this brings anything new to the table at all. Anything innovative, nothing. It's just a very nice experience, I guess, if that's your thing. I will say that I enjoy and appreciate the art. I don't know if this is the same artist as Cottage Garden, but it's got that vibe. No, it's not. He's done The Boldest and Second Chance, this artist. Okay. It's got the that kind of flowery, leafy design. So the presentation of the game is actually quite nice. The shapes look really pretty. The shapes have a design to them. So that's nice.
Cool.
But that's it. That's Second Chance. And I think I don't know when it's coming out, but he's got another one, Patchwork Doodle, which I assume is going to be very similar. So
yeah,
they're this niche of the market is just getting flooded for sure. But I'm still glad, you know, I love these and I like variety. So whatever. It's fine, cool. But yeah.
Cool.
Like, there's really nothing special about this. And that's Second Chance by Uwe Rosenberg. Nice. Yeah.
All right. My next pew 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 is another German game that I will try and pronounce, Cross Karrich? Question mark? Something like that. From Katja Stremmel. And published by Amigo Games. It plays 3 to 5 players. And plays in about 30 minutes. Is a small card game, 1.17 weight on BGG. So this was the other game. Bitzer Darren, our good friend Darren, introduced me to it. And I have been totally obsessed with this game as well. And I've played it so many times. I'm probably reaching, like, I'm over 20 plays right now. It has been a staple at work, game nights. Wow. Anywhere I can. My deck is like super sticky. I think I tweeted about it. My deck is just super sticky. It's played so much. Because it's been played. Nothing else.
Uh-huh,
But what this is, so this is the German, I guess, German for checker combos. That's what it's called. And this is one of those games that I guess, I don't know if there's a name for it, but I like to call it Jenga rules, in that there is only one loser.
Okay.
Everyone else wins the game. But what you're trying to do is, depending how many players you get, you either have a handful of 7 to 10 cards, or 7 or 10 cards, depending on the player count, and the cards go from 1 to 12, and they're three different special. This is a kind of hat climbing type game. So it's 1 to 12. There is three special cards. One's a wild, one's a stop, which kind of stops it and lets you take the trick immediately. And then there is a pickup three that you can play as kind of a get out of jail type thing. And whoever wins the hand has to draw three cards from the deck. And you also have two cards in front of you. And depending how many players, two or three tokens, black chips in front of you. And what you're trying to do is if at any point you can't play, you pick up one of those cards, or don't want to play, you pick up one of those cards in front of you, and if at any point you can't play again and there are no cards in front of you, you lose a chip. So you're one step closer to losing. What you're doing in this game is you are playing different types of combos. So it's either a single card, and then a higher single card beats a single card, or a run of two. So like a 3 and a 4 will be a single card. A higher run of two will beat the previous run of two, or a pair. A run of three will beat a pair, or a higher pair will beat it as well. And then a higher run of three, or three of a kind, is the highest you can go. So three of a kind beats anything. High three of a kind beats a lower three of a kind. Or, of course, you could play your stop, which just ends the trick, and then you lead again to start over. You are trying to get rid of all your cards, because once you get rid of all your cards, you are safe. And then you can't lose your chip. You do this until someone goes to get a chip, and they cannot get a chip. That is the game. And this is just kind of one of those games that brings so much joy, I find, because you're like constantly playing. You're like, oh, you just did that, like that type of thing. And there's like lots of back and forth. And it's very light. It's not something you have to think about. You know, you could play it in a pub. You could play it at work. You could play it anywhere. And you just keep going back and forth. And there's lots of comments and lots of things that people are saying. The coolest part about this game, which I forgot, is you have your hand. When you get dealt your hand, you pick it up in your hand, and you can't rearrange it. So the natural tendency when playing a climbing game or a trick-taking game is you get your hand, you rearrange it. You cannot rearrange it. So, and you have to play your cards from where they lie. So if you want to play a pair, they have to be next to each other. You can't play a pair of threes, but there'd be a seven in between them. You'll have to figure out a way to get rid of that seven before you can play that pair of threes. Works the same way for runs as well. Everything has to be adjacent to each other, and that's the game.
And cool.
Yeah, I'm absolutely adoring this game. I love it.
I will definitely check that out, because I also love games like this.
Yes, it is definitely fun. And apparently you can play it. It works better. I didn't realize that. I was at a game night the other night. Someone else had a copy of the game, and you put in like one extra 1 to 12 if you're playing 5 players, which makes it a lot more smoother. Works a lot better if you're playing 5 players. So I'm gonna have to down another deck.
Oh,
sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry, I keep interrupting you. What's your like go-to, do you have like a classic card game that you always play and you always see yourself playing,
like with a deck of cards?
Yeah, or like that style game, right?
I mean, I really like diamonds gets played a lot. For Stronghold games, I'm just looking at diamonds gets played a lot. I really like I play a ton of custom heroes with the card crafting. I'm still a huge fan of that one. That one gets a lot. That one comes with me to work. It gets a lot of play for that type of thing. But for like people who aren't familiar, who might be worth like just hearts and spades, I really like diamonds. Diamonds adds a fun little kick to a game like that.
Mine, I think if I had to pick one, it would be Linko.
Mm-hmm.
I love that game.
I really like
a lot of plays.
Yeah, I really like Linko. I think Darren had mentioned he thought this was like a Linko killer. Something like that. But I can still see.
How dare you, Darren? How dare you?
I know, right? Horrible. Horrible.
Unacceptable.
Anyway, that is Cross Carat from Amigo Games, and I don't know if it's coming out in the U.S. or who's going to bring it out, but you can easily get English rules if need be.
Cool. Do you want to do a third one, or do you want to just move on?
Sure. I just want to do this one because I feel like I'm going to forget it, because I don't know if I'm going to play about it again, and we have mentioned it on the show.
Okay, because I can do a third one as well.
Go ahead. If you have something you need to talk about, totally. Want, yeah. I just wanted to talk about Escape Plan. While Michelle tracks down the third one. We had mentioned not long ago, an episode or two ago, that I had played it, and I've had the chance to play it again. And something that I have an issue with in this game will be coming up in another bit here, so I felt like I should say it before I forget stuff about it. So Escape Plan just came out from Eagle Griffin Game, designed by Vital Lacerda, and art by Ian O'Toole, which is absolutely amazing, the art. Plays 1 to 5 players, and in 60 or 20 minutes, and is listed as 3.71 on BGG, but I feel like a lot of that is just a Vital effect. I don't feel like that game is nearly that heavy. So this is Escape Plan, for those of you who don't know, is a adventure exploration game that uses a lot of kind of area movement, some card drafting as well, and tile placement. And the tile placement is really strategic. But basically there is some nice theme in this game too, which is really cool. You are I think you're like a group of criminals who've kind of turned on each other, and you're all trying to get out of the city. And you're going to have 3 rounds to get out of your city. This city has 3 bridges on it, Michelle. And there are three bridges out of it. And two are going to get blocked. Two of the entrances to the city are going to get blocked. It's like
goodness.
That Batman storyline where they just bomb the entire Gotham City because they're such horrible people there. But anyway, you're trying to get out of the city. You're doing this by avoiding cops. There are cops all over the tiles on the board. And everyone has their own individual escape plan, and what this boils down to is this is a way for you to tally points for the end game and to make money, and everyone's is going to be different. And what this means is you have your escape plan, which lists 9 different locations on it, 3 safe houses and 6 restaurants, bars, etc., casinos, and it tells you which one you can go to get money and which one you can go to get end game victory points on. And you're going to want to go to these places. And you're going to want to go to them sooner rather than later, because once you get on them, you put your token on there. And if too many people get on there, they get locked and you need a key to get in, and it's a whole other thing. That's generally how you're going to win the game. There's a whole bunch of other things. You can hire gangs to help you with the police. The police will damage you. I'm not going to get a ton into the different rules of this game. One thing I will say, for you to score points at the end, you have to not only escape the city, but you have to have money to escape the city, a certain amount of money, because the first person out is okay, but the second person to escape, you start being penalized if you didn't escape for the length of time it takes you. And that's where I kind of had a bit of an issue with this game, is that you come up with a whole plan, and if something happens where it kind of doesn't go your way or whatever, you have this great plan, but then you can't, it won't come to fruition because you don't have that extra money at the end. And I know we'll talk about this a little bit later too. Second time I played it, I learned my lesson, though. I made sure I had lots of money. I feel like this is similar with a lot of Vital games, in that I didn't really like it at 2 players, and I didn't really like it at 5 players. Thought 5 players just dragged way too much. And I think that sweet spot with this game will probably be 3, would be my guess, although I haven't played the 3 and I don't know if I'll play it again. It definitely grabs a person who is not as Euro-oriented to be able to experience the Vital game, just because it's got a little bit more. At its heart, it very much feels kind of like a worker placement game, because you're trying to get your dude to go to these specific locations to get stuff. So like in that aspect, it's like it's still kind of got those Euro elements, but it has this nice theme and art pasted on it. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I need to play it some more to really kind of decide.
Fair enough.
It's a fun experience, though. It's like, again, one of those games, too, I feel like you really have to be with the right group if you want more out of it to kind of, you know, play it up a little bit, too. But it does kind of give off that feeling of a pulpy, you know, action movie, which I think is what mm-hmm. it's going for. But yeah, there are some things with those rules that I'm not terribly, like, I'm not terribly crazy about it. But it's a fun experience. It's not, I don't know if I need to spend $150 or $180 to own it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I wanted to talk about that. So yeah, I'm just looking at now at the standard edition.
Yeah.
The standard edition is $160 Canadian.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't care how good the game is. That is crazy.
And
That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's Eagle Griffin's thing, is they want you back in their Kickstarter, right? They're not really helping out stores and stuff. They just want you back in their Kickstarter. And if you don't, I think you have to really want the game if you can't get it on the secondary market.
But even their Kickstarters are pretty expensive.
Oh, yeah, well, I did not. Like, I was very interested in On Mars, but then I wasn't willing to spend to back at that price.
Because you've never played the game.
$150 or something insane.
Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's not like CMON Games or one of those where you're like, okay, this is going to have some resale value. Like, if I buy it and really hate it, I'm going to be able to sell it and make back most of my money, right? Like, that type of thing. So,
and I actually don't see a lot of Vattel games on the secondary market. Not in our community, anyways.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I don't know if that's just because the people who buy them and spend the money on them typically know that they'll like these games or what.
I think that's it. I think you hit it right on the head.
The complaint you have about the person getting completely screwed, that's not the first time I've actually heard that. I was listening to John Getz Games. He does a monthly vlog where he talks about the games he's played, and this past month where he was mm-hmm. talking about Escape Plan, and they had the exact same experience.
Oh, really? Okay, that makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure if I was like, I spoke to a couple people who I know who played the game, and they were just like, no, you're just being sour about it. Like, you're just like being bitter. I was like, kind of. Like, I feel like I am being bitter, but I am annoyed by that. Like, I feel like there could have been something different. You could have been penalized and not outright not have a chance to win. You know, make it more difficult. Like, make it, and there are games that do that. Like, if you don't meet these objectives, then it's going to be a lot harder for you to win, but you still have a chance. Whereas this, if you don't do it, you're just shut out. You get shot, and that's it. So, yeah. That's Escape Plan from Eagle Griffin Games.
All right, my last pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
Is, I don't actually know how to say this. I should have looked it up.
Here we go,
It's Valparaiso?
Valparaiso, I think.
Valparaiso?
Isn't that a place in the world?
It is, yeah. It is a place in the world. It's in Chile.
Okay.
So this was published in 2018, and Stronghold Games, published in 2018 by DLP Games, and Stronghold Games is bringing it to the North American mm-hmm. market this year. I think at Origins or Gen Con, actually. This game plays 2 to 5 players in 45 to 90 minutes, has a weight of 3.09, and has a current rating of 7.0 with 247 ratings, so not a lot. Uh-huh. Is designed by Stefan and Louise Malls. Artist, Michael Menzel, my man Michael. He's so great. And I already talked about the publishers. So it's been a little bit since I've played this. So my memory might be foggy, but I think I remember enough to do it some justice.
That's why we got to talk about those ones fast.
Yeah. This game, I think, is getting compared to Rococo, is it? Let me just check here. Yeah, yeah, because it's the same designer as Rococo.
Oh my gosh, Michelle.
I think Rococo is a much better game. I'll just say that right now. So this game is similar to Rococo in that it's a bit of a deck builder and it's a programming game. You have a board and you have 4 slots to put cards, and then you have a 5th slot that you unlock by building buildings, and a 6th slot that you can use by paying $5. So you just put the $5 on the card and then you can use it. Uh-huh. On your turn, you're going to play one card, and then the next person is going to play a card. And the cool thing is if you decide, like, based on seeing everybody's card, because you don't reveal a card at a time, so everybody programs and then reveals their five actions or four actions or however many they're doing. If you decide, hey, I need to do this before that person does it, then you can pay money to reprogram your cards, like reprogram the sequence, basically, and move cards to the basically to the left, which means sooner.
Okay.
So that... And then that's really like the main mechanism. What you're doing out on the board and what you're doing with these cards is you're moving a ship around, which allows you to buy more cards. Uh-huh. That give you different actions and more powerful actions. There's getting cubes, which are used to get money and get victory points. And there's like a... The board is also like a village, so you have meeples. I don't remember what they're thematically called, but you can move them around and do different actions with them in different towns and villages, like trading, you know, $5 and a white cube for X number of points. And then also, like, to buy cards with your ship, you need to load cubes onto your ship, which is actions and, you know, stuff like that. And then the trading in the villages is actually tiles that move. So basically, once somebody does a trade action in a certain village, that trade action goes away and the next one comes down. So the board state is constantly changing again, which is where you might say, oh, shoot, player number two is going to be going to that village before me. So I better pay $5 to do that beforehand, that sort of thing. Oh. So, yeah, that's the game in a basic way. And then every round, at the end of the round, you can choose to give up a card that you've purchased for the points that are on it. So the base card, your starting deck doesn't have any points, but if you purchase cards and you're willing to get rid of them, they can give you points. It's actually a race game to 18 points, which is kind of interesting. I kind of like race games, like when you're racing for... Like viticulture and stuff. Anyway, I play this at two players. It is not a two-player game at all. Very dull, very boring. I can see, though, how at four and five players, this would become a very interesting game. Because your plans can get thwarted because things are changing so rapidly in terms of the state of the board. You're running into each other. Like, as you move through the villages and you want to use things, you have to pay people if they're there. You know, all of these things. So there's tons of interaction. And, you know, based on what you're doing when, you're going to be penalized or not. So I think that this game would be pretty interesting at four or five. But at two, it's just so very, very dull. Like, the actions are not that interesting, right? It's the interaction that is interesting. So at two, it's too open to do anything. So yeah. So I have the game, and I will definitely hold on to it until I can play it at four to five players. And when I do so, I will update all you Bitsers on my thoughts. But if you play mostly two or three player, I would not recommend this game.
Cool.
And that is Valparaiso.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to hearing more from you about this down the line.
All right.
Especially as, you know, everyone will want to know about it as it becomes available here.
And they want to know what I think. Like,
yeah, everyone wants to know what you think, Michelle.
You know, I'm a trendsetter, so.
Everyone also wants to know what BGG thinks. Oh, snap!
He did a segue.
Yeah, let's do a sound effect.
Bah.
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 Bah. That's our sound effect. Yeah. For BGG Thread Spotlight, which is a bit in which we pick a BGG thread that we thought was interesting and share it with all of you and pick out our favorite comments and then give you some of our thoughts.
Can I start with the first one?
Because it's our podcast. You bet. hilarious.
Billy Rabby, the OP, says, just got finished playing Escape Plan, and it's a fine game. But one rule that killed the game for us was that if you don't make it out of the city by the end of round three, you are arrested and automatically lose the game. Harsh, considering you have to bribe and sneak and fight your way around the city for the rest of the game. After 2+ hours to have your game basically nullified left a sour taste in our mouths.
You are not alone.
Yeah, it makes me feel so much better.
So we didn't say what the thread was. It's
excited to say what Billy said.
I know. It's one game rule that killed the game for you.
There you go.
So there you go. All right. Michael Ring says, the rule of if you shoot into a zone where there is a friendly, you automatically hit the friendly rather than your target is a big one in Zombicide. That would be a game killer if I didn't house rule around it. Yeah, I don't like that in video games either.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah.
Eric P. says, it hasn't outright killed any game, but the whole the players may strategize and plan together, but may not discuss specifics thing annoys me. People always default into code language anyway. 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
Drives
that's
me crazy.
Like kind of the mind, a little bit.
Yeah.
Hanabi.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of those. I agree. I mean, I still like those games, but not a ton. And it's true, you do default into some form of coded language, which I think is some of the brilliance and the fascination behind it, but
I'm
not sure it adds too much for gameplay. Okay, we've got Greg Sauruatari. At the end of the game, get X points for unspent resources. Pretty much kills games for me. Isn't counting the main victory conditions enough? Did you not understand the goal of the game? If I build two houses and someone else builds one house, there is a number of loose 2x4s that outranks house? I think not.
Nice.
It's never bugged me. I mean, how many euros have that?
All the euros, Michelle.
All the euros, yeah. But I can see if it was like... Yeah, if you built all these things and someone didn't and they still won because they had a slew of resources, I could see how that might be a little bit... leave a bad taste in your mouth, but I don't know. Okay.
Derek Scott says, in the B/Tiger expansion of Fireball Island, the rule states that you get to flick the tiger one time to try and knock over a figure. This seems like an impossible feat, and we have house-ruled having three chances at the tiger and still don't see a lot of successes at it. This almost killed the expansion for me. I could see that. I haven't played this game, but I could see why that would be annoying.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun at all. All right, Mike Jones says, I hate mandatory quests in Lords of Waterdeep. One card played on you near the end of the game can mean you lose a perfectly played game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that.
I feel like the game is quick enough and not heavy enough for it to really matter, but yeah, I would be happy if those cards weren't in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ryan Keane says, no rule can kill a game for me because I changed a rule if the rest of the game is worth it. I appreciate the hard work and playtesting that goes into publishing rules, but they're not sacred. I change them when necessary to make the game I want to play. Hey, it's your money, you be you, man.
Yeah. Are you like that? Do you do that?
No, I don't think so. But I generally won't own a game that I feel that way about, like, Escape Plan in general, right? Like, I generally won't. Like, I'll have usually... I'm trying to think if there are any games like that, but I'll usually have done enough research and, like, enough, like, hey, that I feel comfortable with the rules as is. I can't think of anything that I've done that with, but... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I have a game I have an official house rule for. Yeah. Maybe I do, but I can't think of it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I generally am not a house ruler. The only thing I will do is, like, if the game's pretty thematic and it's, like, it's more about the story, and but I always find with Ameritrash there's so many, like, fiddly what-if rules.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just make a call based on the theme and move forward than spend 5 minutes reading through a long rule book or looking stuff up on BGG. Like, ugh. So
oh, yeah,
I guess
totally.
In a sense that's me house ruling on the fly.
Yeah.
Not because the rule's broken, but because... I don't want to read the rules for 5 minutes.
And putting it that way, I think I've definitely done that before, but I can't think of a game that I have, like, oh, this rule all the
An
time.
Official, yeah. Yeah, me neither.
So what are your rules that kill the game for you? Or, yeah.
Yeah, so I was trying, like, there were a lot of, like, general mechanisms that I thought of, but I was like,
yeah,
no, I'm going to try to
this is my problem with answering this question.
Yeah, I know. And I know there are some. It was really hard for me to think of some. The one that I did come up with was the farmer scoring in Carcassonne.
Okay.
Now, I've never really liked that game, but I just found it, like, unnecessarily complicated. Like, I just took a really simple, streamlined game, and then it was like, you know, you'd be like, okay, this and this, and I'd be like, okay, and then you'd be like, okay, so there's these farmers. I don't know. Maybe... I think it's just me. I feel kind of silly saying it because I know it's a simple game, but okay. I don't know. That rule for me is just like, no, don't like it. Yep, just wreck the game for me.
I can see that. I mean, it doesn't matter if the game's simple or not. No, it's true. It doesn't matter if the game's simple or not, right? If it doesn't do it for you, if it's not.
Yeah, I just found it from a beautifully simple, streamlined game to like this weird. It's just like this weird like bump in the game to me. Nope.
Fair enough. Nope. Yeah, I had trouble because I'm looking at our show notes. I'm like, these are both mechanisms that I put down.
Yeah.
But I think, I will say, like, the escape plan thing is about as close to something like that happening as happens to me. I have actually got rid of all of my zombie side stuff for reasons very similar to Michael Ring, the way he said about the shooting in thing.
Yeah.
Which can be really annoying. The one thing I will say, it's more of a general rule, is if I get playing a game and it's a very much a dice rolling game, but there's no dice mitigation in it. You know what I mean? Like no way to kind of mess with the dice. Like that's a rule because that you can't do it. And like that will just turn me off of a game completely. Like if I have a dice game, I don't even care if it's very shallow and doesn't do a ton, but there has to be some sort of dice mitigation to make me feel powerful.
Yeah, and for me, player elimination. Yeah. Unless it's like a really, really quick game, even King of Tokyo is too long for me for that.
Mm.
I just hate it. I feel bad for the person who's out. It just doesn't feel like an inclusive experience. So there you go. I'm a Care Bear.
No, I 100% agree with that. Anything with player anything that everyone doesn't get an equal experience to me is like. And like you said, if it's like a short, like, one night ultimate werewolf, right, where it's like the game's going to be over in 5 minutes, regardless of how you feel of it, or Coup's another one, right? The whole game takes 5-10 minutes. If you're out, it's going to be like, you go pee and come back and you'll be ready to play again. I'm okay with that, but anything like, yeah. Totally agree. All right.
What's your other one?
Oh, I left my other one out because I just put all versus one, so I'm like, I'm not bothering with that. That's more of a mechanism, but... Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate all versus one. Can't stand it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I think I played a few when I was first in the hobby, and yeah, very quickly just turned off.
Yeah, totally agree.
I'm totally going to keep my eye out for this because I know there's been games that I've played too. And I've been like, this is such a ridiculous rule. Like, why? But I just can't think of them.
No, and the problem is
if you guys have any. Oh.
Sorry. No, I was going to say, my problem is I'm looking at my shelf. I'm like, well, these are all games that I want, so I would have gotten rid of those games. Like, I'm sure they're 100%. They're definitely out there. So, yeah, definitely. And what were you going to ask our bitsers to do, Michelle?
I was just going to say, if you guys have any, let me just scroll up here to say. Game rules that killed a game for you, please do let us know at All the Bits Pod.
Even game rules that you just really dislike, maybe they didn't kill a game for you. Maybe you really love the game actually so much that you play it despite this horrible rule that drives you crazy.
Or maybe you've house ruled it.
Yeah.
And we'll judge you, but we still want to hear.
Judging, not judging. Not judging, judging. Hashtag judging, not judging. Whatever. All right, Michelle.
Are you hungry? Hot topic. Yes, I'm hungry. I'm always hungry.
Yeah, always hungry for pizza pockets.
No, for hot topics.
So this is like, our bit. Yes.
What are you gonna say? We're all over each other. We're all tonight. Over. Sorry,
I am way too distracted. They are in double overtime right now. I am so distracted.
Really?
I can't even look at it. I closed my tab with the widget, so I can't pay attention to it.
That's exciting,
though. Because I'm like my chest hurts. It's pounding so hard right now.
Yeah, no kidding. That's exciting stuff. All right, today's hot topic, which is our bit on discussing what we consider to be a hot topic, is the Origins hype train.
Hype! Choo-choo!
Get on the hype train. Choo-choo. Let's talk about some games that are catching our eye. That'll be on sale at the Origins 2019, which you will be at June?
In June, in less than a month from now.
Exciting.
Yeah, I haven't used it, but like going through this just reminded me that now like they have this con tool on BGG. Now they actually have pre-ordering built into it, which is super cool if you
Very
want to
cool.
indulge that way. Which, yes, it's really neat. It's a really neat feature if you haven't checked it out. So did you do this in any way, shape, or form, Michelle?
No, I thought I'd kind of leave it open. I've gone through the geek preview, yeah. and I just thought I'd kind of scroll through and look for the stuff that I'm interested in or must have. Mm-hmm. I was originally going to do just must have, but honestly, there's not much. Mm-hmm. But that is also for sale.
Yes, that's, yeah. I did must have, yeah, I did must haves and interested, but must haves are going to be like if I would purchase anything, and I don't know if I'll purchase anything. The must haves are kind of the ones I would purchase. The thing is, a lot of my must haves on here are games that are like coming out almost day and date with their release at Origins for
okay.
in stores, which is why I probably won't buy them there because American. Right.
Expensive.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, and traditionally, Origins hasn't really been known as a con for game releases, nope. but I think that is starting to change. There, I mean, it's no Gen Con and it's no Essen, but it certainly seems to be the start of the con season, mm-hmm. and more publishers seem to be using it as an opportunity to get some hotter titles.
There definitely seems like there are a lot more than in the past, like on this list of stuff for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Right away. A lot of it's Kickstarter stuff, but hey.
Is it?
Seems like that to be, but.
Yeah. I don't, honestly, so many of them, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And you know, when there's a list this big, it's like I look at the cover and I read the mechanisms, and that's pretty much what I base my.
That's what I do too.
My judgment on, because I can't go through every single one of these.
That's exactly what I do too.
Yeah.
All right, so
I think the list has 188 titles, or maybe I've indicated interested, undecided, or must have to 188 titles.
Okay,
yeah, which is a lot.
And it'll get
overwhelming,
bigger and bigger. Yeah. All right.
Going,
well, you want me to go
I'll
first?
Go first. Yeah, okay. I'm looking at one right now, and it's Pipeline.
Yeah,
which is by Capstone Games. Which I guess, yeah, you're right. It is a Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just interested in this game because it seems, you know, like it would be up my alley in terms of it being a Euro.
Yep. Obviously it's Capstone.
Really? Like, I was interested in the, Kickstarter, but it ultimately was just too expensive. And Capstone Games I find generally fairly hit or miss, but I, you know, they
I was
do
gonna
tend
say,
to
you're not
focus
a,
on.
You're not a huge Capstone
person. No. And when I look through, like, I like them, I think, just because I know they're pure Euro. Like, I know if Capstone Games is publishing something, it's worth me to look at.
Yeah.
But when I look through their list of published games, yeah, no, I wouldn't say I've even tried a lot of them, but the ones that I have, I wouldn't say, oh, yeah, I really, really dug it. I like Haspel Connect and Cartago. I've never tried Arkwright, which I would like to. Anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, so, yeah, Pipeline. I'm definitely curious about it, and I don't know, it might be a bit too long or heavy. It's 120 minutes, and it's route and network building, so, and economic, so I'm not sure if I'll like it, but definitely interesting.
Really awesome. Ian, that box cover is breathtaking.
Yeah, Ian O'Toole did the art for this, and he is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did Black Angel, too. Oh, sweet. Mm-hmm. All right.
My first here is a game I heavily considered when it was on Kickstarter, which is Space Explorers from Crowd Games, I think it is, and designed by Yuri Zhurilov, who may or may not be an actual space person. I don't know. I don't remember. But what this is, it is a card drafting set collection game set during the space race in 1957. You're racing to get your orbit. It's a card game. You're racing to get your satellite into orbit, the Sputnik. And it really seems like a love letter to that time. Like, the art, I love, like, the art, the design of this game. Really kind of seems like a love letter to that time. I don't know how it plays. I've heard good things. I think I remember when it was on Kickstarter, there were good things. Doesn't seem like a terribly complicated game, but I think if you're kind of interested in that time period or space exploration, I think it's a game that I think could be of interest to you.
Yeah, I'm curious about that one.
And this will be a game I'll really look into to see actually when it is actually coming out on retail to determine whether I want I want to get a copy of it there.
There's a lot of demos. Like, I'm going through this list now, and I'm like, it's all the ones that I'm interested in are demos.
Yeah, because it's going to be a lot of those Gen Con or Essen games, right, that you can see for demo there.
Well, and Century and New World is there.
Yes.
That one I'm definitely interested in.
Yes.
They did that last year, too, the second one.
They've always released, I think they've always released their thing at Origins, which is nice. Plan B / Next Move, that whole organization always is very, I feel like them and Stronghold are always really like big pushers of Origins.
Okay. Yeah, so the Century and New World is the third in the series. Third and last?
I think so.
And yeah. And it's the same idea, like you can play it with the other games. So there's like, I don't even know how many combinations. Oh my God, a lot. Fully mixable to create four unique games. That's not a lot.
Michelle?
Matt.
Michelle?
Yeah.
Raptors. Yeah. Raptors win in double overtime. Raptors win. Boom.
That's okay, awesome. That's congratulations. That's I'm it. So happy okay, for back, you back to for the your podcast. Sports.
Yes, I can actually pay attention to the podcast. I'm sorry, oh, Michelle. I'm sorry, Bitzers. Okay.
Yeah, so this looks good. I actually don't know much about the gameplay. It looks like there's meeples. It looks less like, it does look like all the trading, like trade a brown cube for three red cubes, but it looks like there's meeples in this one.
I think this one was supposed to be a worker placement game. I think that was like always the plan.
Yeah, it does look like it. I'm wondering if maybe it's like the strength of the meeple. Hang on, let me see if there's anything on a summary.
I love
work replacement mechanism with a twist. That's it.
Okay, cool. That's neat.
Yep. I'm excited about it. Do you like these? Do you play these?
I love them. Yes, I love them. I'm waiting for Golem. I'm not giving up on there being other Golem games.
Golem.
Sentry Golem, yeah. Like the last one. I really like, what was the last? I can't remember. I really liked the last one a lot. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, I like it too.
I really liked it. Maybe more than the first one. I have Golem, but I think I might have actually liked it more than the first one.
Yeah.
So I'm very, and I really liked Chris Quilliam's art and Emerson Masucci. Mm. So it's really good teams behind it. So yeah, it would be a must have if it was available in Golem.
So they didn't do the second one either in Golem, did they?
The internet still seems interesting. To think they will, but.
Yeah, it's curious that they had, like, yep. It just seems like a no-brainer.
Maybe after these three are out, then they'll do it.
Maybe. There's some wicked 3D carts, 3D printing on Etsy. Ugh. And you can put them in the carts. Oh, I want them so bad. They look so nice. Anyways, I digress. What's your next pick?
All right, my next one is, well, I think it's the same company, is Tuki from Move Games. And it's funny, because Plan B / Next Move, it seems like every year, also art by Chris Quilliam's, every year at Origin seems to release some sort of, like, much lighter dexterity / abstract game, right? They had, like, Azul, they've had, Reef came out, was there, and now this as well. This seems more of a dexterity, where you're trying to build Tukaliks, whatever they're called, which are objects to convey language or messages, stuff like that. So it's very much a, I know there's some previews out there, very much a dexterity game, but I really like what Next Move does, and they're always a huge hit with kind of the more casual crowd, which is I have to play to a lot, and they're quick, easy games. But they have a surprising amount of substance to them, so.
Yeah, it looks neat. I was interested and I watched the video and I was like, I would like to play it, but I don't think I need to own it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Looks fun, though. Mm-hmm. My next pick is Copenhagen.
Mm-hmm. That's on my list.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, This is by Queen Games, and it looks very similar to the Polyomino games that have been coming out. It looks like you're building up buildings using, like, you have a grid board, but it's a building, so you get pieces with windows.
I love that they actually have windows on them. That makes me happy.
It's the little things.
It's the little things.
I did watch the preview of this that the BGG group did, but I don't really remember a whole lot about it. I have a feeling this is probably one of those games that I want to play it, but I don't know that I really want to own it. And I don't know how unique it really is, like how much new ideas it brings to the table, but I'm still curious about it, and I'm going to keep an eye, and
for the same reasons like you said, and I think this will very much be a play and then determine how much I must have it, because how different is it from something like Patchwork or whatever else is out there, and will it give me something more?
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at the... So there's a listing for just the retail regular version.
Yeah,
there's a deluxe edition with acrylic tiles, which is kind of crazy because they're all different shapes and colors, and that'd be pretty sweet.
Did they kickstart that? I can't remember.
I think so.
Weird Queen Games.
Yeah, they do.
Weird.
I know.
Quick start.
I didn't even know they kickstarted the Merlin expansion.
Yes, they did.
Like, how did I not hear about this?
I don't know. All right. My next one is that I'm honestly very interested in this just on the aesthetics alone. Another game that I was very close to backing on Kickstarter, but literally didn't back because of shipping costs, as I recall, is Dead Man's Cabal from Panasaurus Games, designed by Daniel Newman. And yeah, I love the art aesthetic on this. It's very, you've conquered death and mastered all nine dimensions of space and time. Now reality bends to your every whim and desire. So you're basically Thanos in this. And you're trying to, I think what this is, it's an action selection game. And you are trying to collect bodies, I think, and bring them back to life or something like that. It's got a really weird, wacky aesthetic. But again, I remember when this was on Kickstarter, people who were playing, whose opinion I really trust of it, seemed to really like it and think it was a good game. I don't know if it's something that will have long-term appeal to me or not. So again, another game I feel like I need to play before making that final decision. So
cool. Hadn't heard of it.
Yeah, and that's another one that I believe is coming out. It's being released at Origins, but it's going to hit retail like the week after or something.
Okay. My next pick is Clank Legacy Acquisitions Incorporated Upper Management Pack.
You stole my next one.
That's a really long title.
It is.
So this is apparently Legacy, but I don't really see why it's Legacy, because it sounds to me like the there's just some characters with each that have a unique deck.
Yes.
So I'm not sure why it's called Legacy.
So I think this, you can get it and use it with base Clank to give your guys variable. Sorry if I'm stealing your thunder here a little bit.
No, you're not.
But I think you can use it with your base Clank, so you have the individual player powers, but it will also be part of the Clank Legacy game that's coming out at some point.
I think
that's how it works.
So this isn't... Okay, I was thinking this was the Legacy game.
No, I think
this is just... Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think. I might be completely wrong. Please,
no, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I remember when this was announced at PAX, I think, and then there was some information about it. There wasn't a ton. But I think there is a Clank Legacy game that's based on Acquisitions Incorporated, which is like a role-play troop or something.
Okay.
But then this is a way to kind of use that stuff now to get variable player powers, I think, is the way it works
from the beginning of the game. Yeah, based on what I'm reading here, yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, I still want it.
Yes.
I thought it was a Legacy game, which I'm assuming that must be a Gen Con release then, and this is kind of like a teaser at Origins.
I would guess.
Yeah.
Yes, I will. That will be a game I will definitely be picking up there. Although, unless it's coming out, like, I think it's also coming out very soon. So if it's like, oh, it's going to be out this week, then I won't get it. But I don't know if I can possibly wait longer if it's available there for me to get.
Yeah.
All right. So since you stole that game from me, I am not stealing this from you because I don't know if you've even played this game yet. But the other one I'm really interested in is Luxor, The Mummy's Curse, which is an expansion to Luxor. I don't know a ton of what this adds. I'm looking it up right now, but I will buy it sight unseen. It adds a mummy. The mummy can come for you in the game. Oh, that's interesting. It adds equipment cards for your hand that you can play to do stuff. It adds new treasures, a fourth type of treasures, which I think is really important for this game. And it adds special adventure cards that give you special abilities unique for you for the entire game. Oh, that's cool. So variable player powers. So it's making it into more of a gamery game thing. And fifth player expansion as well, so you can play five players.
I really want to try that game.
That's the more I play this game, the more I like it.
I really like.
And so weird when like I explained to people that it's a role like I had it the other night and I was explaining to people and I got weird looks. I was like, it's basically a roll and move, but it works really well. It is a roll and move, but you're playing with cards and it works just perfectly for what it is.
Yeah, I want to try it. I've hesitated to buy it because I don't know if it'll just be too light for me, but I do want to try it.
It is very light.
Yeah,
it's, I know. It's a filler. It's unfortunate that it's a little bit fiddly because there are lots of bits and pieces in it for a filler, for like a half-hour game, but...
Cool. Well, my next pick I really don't know much about at all, but it's called Fire in the Library, and it's a press-your-luck game, which I typically enjoy. It's like 15 to 30 minutes, so it's just a quick press-your-luck game, and it sounds like you start with tools to mitigate your luck or change probabilities for your opponents, and yeah, you're just taking risk for reward. I find with these games, like, they can either be really fun or they're just terrible. But the good ones I enjoy taking out every once in a while. So, you know, I think it'll be worth keeping an ear out to see what people say. So
I just played this two or three days ago. Yes. Well, I actually bought this at PAX Unplugged. They had a few copies there. And just busted it open a few nights ago. Mostly because I saw this while I was doing this. I was like, oh, it's on the list, and I think it's got a fair bit of hype now. Maybe I should actually have a look at it and play it.
And?
I like it. It's a push-your-luck game. It's neat. I really like the art on it. I really like the aesthetic of it.
Yeah, Beth Sobel.
Yes, it's definitely... And it's nice to see Beth Sobel do something that's a little different, is what I like about it, right? It's not so nature-y. But the color schemes kind of make you feel like her. So I really like that. I have an expansion that I got with the two, which I heard makes it really good, but I didn't play with that. So yeah, it's just, it is a push-your-luck game. You have to like push-your-luck games, but it's quick. It's not long. It's not overly complicated, which is what I usually want in a push-your-luck game.
Exactly.
I always go back to something like Ink and Gold, or I guess Quax. Well, Quax is not a great example right now, but Ink and Gold, which is pretty much a classic push your luck game, right? It's just so smooth and streamlined. You gotta have push your luck games that are like that, and I think this is similar in terms of how clean it is.
Okay.
Cool. Let's see. I have one more on my must have. Oh, two on my must have. This is an older game, Felinx from Social Sloth Games, Felinx 2nd Edition. I have been interested in this game forever. It came out at Essen a few years ago. I mean, I don't know if it's ever been available here. This is more of a game I would use for work, because what you're doing is you're picking a card, you have a situation to read, and you have to choose an emotion that matches how you feel, and then you have to like bet or put some wager on your partner's feelings to that, and you want to kind of be similar for this. So if you're like looking and trying to identify emotions or trying to understand emotions better, I think this would be a really nice game to have, which is why I'm super interested in it. So I'm definitely getting to look into when this actually comes out, but I think this would be a game I would really like to own.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, my last. So these are not my must-haves. These are just ones I'm interested in because there's not like there's not a ton between that are actually for sale that I'm really interested. Anyway, my last one I'll talk about is Hadara. So I've been hearing a lot about this and buzz. Like people that have played it have really enjoyed it, and it seems to me, and I could be wrong, but it seems to me to be a lot like Seven Wonders. Yeah, it looks like you're, I think it's drafting, but maybe not, but I think it is, but it doesn't say card drafting in the mechanisms on BGG, so I'm confused right now. But it looks like you're building up a civilization. You've got a board in front of you with a bunch of different tracks. I've heard there's the combat, the same as Seven Wonders. Yeah, and yeah, there's like agriculture, culture, military power, like one of those, but I think it works a lot like Seven Wonders is the common comparison that I keep hearing. So yeah, I'm interested in it. I mean, I'm not a huge, huge fan of Seven Wonders, but, and I also don't have a ton of opportunities with large player counts. This is a 2-5, so. But, yeah, hearing good things, looks interesting. So I'll, be keeping an eye and seeing if there's more buzz or less buzz or what.
Buzz.
But yeah, people are saying good things. So definitely, worth looking into for sure.
Right,
and that's it.
Yeah, I got a couple more here. I'm going to group them together just because they're from the same publisher, Strawberry Studio. And I've talked about another game that I have that my daughter absolutely destroyed because it has animals on it. But Strawberry Studio, and they release these small little card games, and they always have like such adorable, ridiculously adorable art on them and stuff. So they have two games, I think, coming out. The Little Monster That Came for Lunch and Stayed for Tea, which is a racing game, I think. And then Mount Rushmore is the other one, which is I think it's more of a party game. I don't know exactly anything about it, but like I said, I really love their art. And their games are good. They're very light, you know, 5-10 minute experience type games, I think. So definitely interested in those two. And I know they usually don't have a ton of copies of these things.
Okay.
So those might be actually games that I just pick up out right there.
Right. The other one that they have available is Bon Appetit, which is a bidding commodity speculation. Those are the three. They are very nice. That Little Monster one is so cute.
I know. So I am surprised you don't have Revolution of 1828 on here, Michelle.
I know, I'm interested in it, but...
It's a two-player Feld game.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like it's going to be a lot like Roma 2, which I ultimately sold. Like, very abstract, very...
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah.
Looking at the picture boards now.
Yeah. Fair. I'm kind of ish on it. Yeah, I'm not sure. Keep going back and forth. I'm like, yeah, but it's a Feld. But, if it didn't have his name on it, I don't think I would look twice. So
such a weird...
That's got to say something.
I really want to know what the game is that, like, Renegade or whoever got before putting this theme on. Because it just seems weird that this would be a Feld theme.
I know, hey? It's just so...
Probably was just an abstract game.
The cover is literally beige. Like, the whole thing. I mean,
Yeah, seriously, literally, the only color on the cover is the Renegade Games logo.
It is.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's sad. It is.
Well, this list, I'm sure, will probably grow from now. So if you guys, if there's anything that we talked about or anything that's coming out of the Origins that you guys are interested in... let us know. Like, let us know the games you're, like, looking forward to, I think. At Origins, as we get closer, I'll probably, like, tweet out and post, and we'll maybe talk in another episode about what, you know, what if there's anything you guys want me to check out for the show, whether it's a demo or a game coming out that we can talk about. I'm assuming I'll have months worth of content after this that I play. So that'll be nice. Save that content.
Now you just have to remember things. That's the hard part.
I'm going to start writing them down. I'm going to start keeping them. I'm going to start Google keeping them all.
No, do like a cute little journal.
I'm going to game journal, Michelle.
There you go.
All right. Do you have a song for us?
I always have a song for you.
Yeah.
Bits, 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 bits. Everybody bits now. Bits, 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 bits. There you go.
All right.
It's been a while. Actually, right. No, I think I did it last episode.
Yeah, I think we did this last time because I talked about Quad Heroes, I think.
Oh, yeah.
This is our all-the-bit bit. The big name, the name we're all, the name our show's after, where we talk about a component or something in games that really, that we like fondling, that we're really into.
Because we love bits.
We love all, oh, we love the bits.
We love the bits.
Love the bits, love the bits.
My first pick is a bits fail.
Oh, nice. Oh, I love bits. Thank you. Have you done this before? This is always me doing this horrible stuff.
No, I don't know. Oh, this is bad, Sean.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, so News Fjord was an Uwe release 2 years ago, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And it came out with these ridiculously small $1 cardboard coins. Like, I'm talking ridiculous. Like, take a pen and, you know, the end of it, not the tip, but the other side. That's how big they were. Like, just tiny little things. So, everybody makes a joke about it. What does the publisher do? We're going to come out with a new deck for the game, and we're going to include metal coins. Who doesn't love metal coins? Mm-hmm. Well, here's what they did, Sean.
Yes.
They didn't put fives and tens. They only put ones. So, you have these really, really cool $1 metal coins, and then you have a bunch of cardboard five and tens that I think are at this point... Or maybe the tens are slightly bigger than the metal coins. But it's just a mess. Like, no. And the coins are actually really nice. They have little fish on them. And there's not enough ones. Like, you need the fives and tens. It's not like you can say, okay, we'll just use the ones. I mean, come on, people. What were you thinking? That's a bits fail, Sean.
Nice.
That's what that is.
That's awful. All right.
Yeah,
well, I will talk about a game that... The bits are great, but there is a little bit of a bits fail in it for me, too. And I think you can comment on this, too.
Lazy.
No,
you're
just
lazy.
I still can't pronounce it. It's Henties? Is that how you pronounce it? Henties, I think. The deluxified edition from TMG that recently shipped to backers. I got it. I was super excited. It's been a long time. I was super excited. Busted it open. First thing, of course, that I knew I had to mentally prepare myself for, Michelle, was that there is a sleeve on it. We know my thoughts on sleeves.
I do.
Yes. Yeah. Then I get into it, and then I have to stick, which is to be expected with TMG, to be honest. I had to sticker some wooden cubes. It's like, I hate stickering so much. Now they're all sloppy, and like some stickers are like, at least there was only like 30 or 40 stickers. So it wasn't terrible. It wasn't a friggin' Rise of Queensdale situation.
Yeah.
So happy I got my Orleans version from someone. So it was all done for me.
Oh man, that was, it's memorable to me because I remember how much work it was.
Aside from the bits in this game, it's got all your typical TMG really cool components. It's got metal coins. It's got nice chunky wood bits. The little dudes, I don't know if the little dudes come in the regular version or not, but there's like
I don't think so.
Oh, they're so cool. There's like a big one for each one, and then your four or five little ones. Really nice. I think they're like screen printed or something. They're really cool, really detailed. I like the abstract art type thing on there. What else you got in there? I'm saving one thing for last, the insert.
I'm just going to say
I'm saving the insert for last. Is there anything else I'm missing?
There's
nice recessed
the dual
player
layered boards.
Yeah, the player boards are awesome. They're nice and recessed. I think that's it, right?
The buildings are all uniquely shaped for each of the players.
Are.
And the score tracker, instead of just a normal disc, you get a slimmer version of your building.
Yes, and that giant, you have that giant yellow thing.
The bell.
The bell with it.
Yeah.
And then it comes...
And your coins come in a velvet bag embroidered with a gold tree. Very nice touch.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's really cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes with is it Folding Space? Is that the company?
Folding or Folded Space?
Folded Space. And I think they had a bunch of, they had Kickstarters not long ago as well, which is a foam core. It's foam core, right? A foam core.
I think so, yeah.
a foam core custom insert, very similar to something from like Broken Token or Meeple Reality, but it's foam core. Goes together really easy. I was able to do this without consulting anything, which I haven't ever had with any of my other ones, which I really liked. I've had a lot of trouble getting the coin one to stick with glue. I think the heft of it, has, I need to just use better glue, maybe use a glue gun or something to do it. But it's pretty easy. Fits in nicely. I really like it. I really like how easy it is to just pop everything out and put it together. Yeah. Any thoughts on that? So that's my first experience.
Loved it.
It's my first experience.
Mine
with
too.
This.
Yeah. And I actually didn't know, like, I must have missed the memo on Kickstarter. I don't know if it was a stretch goal or if it was always there and didn't realize it.
Yeah.
But I had no idea that was in the box.
Yeah.
And I was very pleasantly surprised. I was amazed that you could just, because you punch them out of your regular size board.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's foam core and you can just punch it out to me is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I like the wooden ones as well, like the Broken Token ones and Meeple Realty. But what's great about foam cores is so much lighter.
Mm-hmm.
So your boxes aren't as heavy. I mean, they take up more space too, because foam core is thick. But yeah, your boxes aren't as heavy. And I like crafting, so it's fun for me to put it together. I was pretty impressed by it.
Me too. Yeah. I was like super impressed.
Very cool.
That was like my favorite thing from that game.
I think game trays and folded space or whatever. What are they called?
Folding space.
I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of them in Kickstarters and stuff.
It's probably a lot cheaper for them to get that too.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Cool.
Very cool.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. Cool. You have
all right.
One
my
more.
Yeah, I do actually have like
something
good,
positive.
Good thing to talk about. Yeah, so Spacegate Odyssey is a game I want to play. I've played it once. I want to play it a few more times before I talk about it on the podcast, but I do plan on talking about it. First off, it's got Vincent Dutrader, which I always very much appreciate, and the box is absolutely gorgeous. But it's got some really cool bits inside. So you're building out a space station in this game, and there's a bunch of different tiles that you use, and the game actually comes with like a three-tiered tile tray that you build when you get the game, and it's just using cardboard, but it's pretty sturdy, and I just appreciate that because it makes the game quicker to set up and also organizes the bits really nicely while you're playing them. So super impressed by that. And then the meeples are translucent and cute and good colors, which, you know, for me matters.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually upgrade. Sure.
Yeah.
When it comes to bits. Yeah, sure. you can upgrade your meeples and you put them into these suits, which is really just a larger meeple that's hollow and you slip them in. And I think that's kind of cool. I know some people found them fiddly, but I didn't find it that bad at all. So appreciate that. And then lastly, the main board, which is somewhat of a work replacement game. The active player, when you put your worker, there's actually like a little cardboard stand they stand on, because what happens is when you go to a space, everybody that's in that space gets to take that action. Mm-hmm. But you want to know who the active player is. So they actually have like a little stand that stands up higher than everything else on that spot. Nice. And it's just nice. Like you can just tell there's been a lot of attention to detail in terms of not only just like aesthetics, but actual gameplay, you know, for better user experience, which is just very nice.
This was going to be on
my Spacegate Odyssey.
This was going to be on my origins list, this game, but I couldn't.
Yeah, well, I have it. So
I could. Yeah, so I was like, that's because I remember it popping up, and I couldn't figure out if it's like, is it out yet? Is it just like, did Bliss bring it in? Is it just being released at Origins wider, or is it like one of those games, sometimes you get those games that are like, oh, they've been out for a while, but they're on this list type thing, so that's why I didn't play it.
Because they're for sale there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been out for a little bit, but yeah, I'm not quite sure, because really I haven't seen a lot about it, and I just saw it at Bliss, and Bliss brings in so much stuff that you never really know, so.
True that.
Yeah.
True that. Well, I look forward to hearing you talk about it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to playing it again. I bought it because I thought it might be like Glenmore, which it wasn't really, but anyways, there you go. All right, before we close out the show, we just want to say thanks.
Sorry.
Yeah. Thanks. Again, to our amazing listeners and our show sponsor, Board Game Bliss, a store where you really can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. The next time... Oh, wait, let me do this with my radio voice. The next time you're playing with someone who has AP, may we suggest you use that time to click the subscribe button and leave us a review on iTunes. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye. All right. I am going to watch basketball highlights, Michelle.
Okay.
Later.
Sean, go. Go forth.
Later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.